This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org. Sticking together in the face of hard times. That's what the family of the young bassoonist on today's show did. And the support of that family and the lessons she learned about determination have helped make her an outstanding musician. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at Deckelbaum Concert Hall at the University of Maryland in College Park, where that teenage bassoonist plays the music of Alexander Tonsman, and a young pianist reminds us what it feels like to practice music when you're only five. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks. Welcome, everybody. It's true. We're at the Deckelbaum Concert Hall at the University of Maryland in College Park, just outside of Washington, D.C., but there's more. This concert hall is in the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center, and guess who is in our audience today? Clarice Smith herself. We love this hall, Miss Smith. We love it. Very nice, Clarice. I'm happy to say we're going to grace your beautiful hall with a broadcast premiere today, a wonderfully evocative piano trio written by an exceptional 16-year-old from New York City. We'll hear that later on in the show. And it wouldn't be right to come to your Performing Arts Center without some kids from your neck of the woods. And happily, great young musicians from this area are not hard to find, like this very talented pianist from just over the Potomac in Arlington, Virginia. Please welcome 16-year-old pianist Kimberly Howe. Kimberly, you've brought an easygoing, frivolous piano piece to start our show, haven't you?
Well, I wouldn't say it's easy, would you?
You look very skeptical, and no wonder. Tell everyone what it is.
Today, I will be playing Samuel Barber's Sonata for Piano, Opus 26, the fourth movement entitled The Fugue, or The Fuga.
A real barn burner. Thrilling. When you're ready, please take it from the top. Thank you. 16-year-old Kimberly Howe from Arlington, Virginia, playing the final fugue of Samuel Barber's Piano Sonata. Kimberly, we know that piece to be just demonic and just horrifically difficult, but I've never heard it balanced so beautifully. It's just amazing, the range of feeling in this incredible piece. Beautifully
Thank
done.
Thank you so much.
So were you one of those kids whose parents wanted you to focus on the piano, or was it your choice? Were there many things to choose from as you were growing up?
Ultimately, it was my choice. When I was around 4 years old, my mother wanted me to try everything. So I tried all kinds of sports. I tried dancing, which I really loved. I tried ballet and Spanish dance as well. And I tried different instruments. I immediately took to the piano the best. So my mom said, oh, let's just try some lessons then. And I really liked it. So I continued ever since.
Well, and obviously you've taken to it. It's natural to you. I mean, but you have a funny story about what practicing was like for you when you were just starting.
When I was around 5, I started the piano at 4. So around 5, I was supposed to be practicing, you know, just at least a little bit each day. But it turned out that whenever I practiced, time almost either slowed down or it completely stopped for me when I was practicing.
Not in a good way, I guess.
No, not in the good way.
Time stopping. What a perfect description of what goes on in a 5-year-old's mind.
Kimberly, I haven't heard you play a note for a long time. Honey, you've only been practicing for a few minutes.
Kimberly! Kimberly, do you hear me?
Sort of like that, Kimberly.
Oh, exactly.
Really?
Like that.
I always think my watch, the battery stopped, but no, it's exactly as you remember it. You told us about all the things you tried out as a child, but you're still interested in a lot of things. For example, you volunteered in a medical lab.
I have, yes. My mom has an oncologist who set me up with an internship at her practice. So I was very blessed to have the opportunity to do things like, you know, write research reports for the doctor and present, you know, my findings to her. And also I drafted letters to other doctors from my mother's doctor. So I did a lot more things than just say, bring coffee.
Do you think you'll make the leap and become a doctor, or will it be the piano? I mean, piano is a much more lucrative choice, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, no question. I love both areas, both life science and piano, although over the years I felt that I feel a lot closer to classical music and to piano. So I feel I have a closer relationship, if you know what I mean, to music. So I've decided that I want to pursue a career in piano performance. Yeah, so that's
I'm very happy to hear that, because we just loved hearing you play. And hope to hear so much more from you in the future.
Thank you so
Bravo, much. Kimberly. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kimberly Howe, 16 years old, from nearby Arlington, Virginia. Our next performer is the concertmaster of the D.C. area's fantastic American Youth Philharmonic. He's 17-year-old violinist Brian Hong, and he's with me on stage now. Brian, tell everyone where you're from.
I am from Fairfax Station, Virginia.
And why don't you tell everybody what you and I will be playing together?
We will be playing Marco Uccellini's Sonata Corta from his Opus 5 for violin and continuo.
So an early Baroque piece, and true to the Baroque, you'll be playing on a period instrument with a period bow. I'll be playing continuo on the harpsichord. In all our years on the air, we've rarely encountered a teenager interested in authentic performance practices. How did you get hooked on the idea?
Well, my earliest musical memories were even before I started playing the violin. My dad is the biggest music fan in the world, and I would sit in the car, a sob with him, and then he would put on tapes. And my earliest memories were a recording of the Bieber Rosary Sonatas by the great Baroque violinist Andrew Manzi and continuo player Richard Igar. So that was my first memory of music. And also my violin teacher, Jun Huang, who is in the audience tonight, is a phenomenal Baroque violinist. And, of course, she's kind of brainwashed me into loving Baroque violin. So thank you.
Well, you'll have many, many converts. Very excited about doing this. Thank you. Brian Hong, 17-year-old violinist from Fairfax Station, Virginia, playing Mario Uccellini's Violin Sonata No. 4 from his Opus 5. Brian, I so much love the sound of the violin, particularly the pliancy, the expressivity. You know, we think of Baroque music, you know, as somewhat staid, or you know, particularly when pianists, you know, are dealing with it a lot. But there's so much expression. Do you feel that the way you play Baroque violin then informs your modern playing, and how so?
Oh, it definitely informs my modern playing. I mean, just even technically, you know, you don't have the chin rest, you don't have the shoulder rest, so you're left just trying to balance. Mm-hmm. And everything about Baroque violin is about balance. You know, Miss Huang taught me that really well. And one of your crew members actually said one word that really stuck with me. This sound is very melancholy. Mm-hmm. It has this real pliant, melancholy tone to it. It's really beautiful. So learning how to work with the Baroque instrument really informs my modern playing, because I have a tendency to force the sound. And working with the Baroque violin helps me just to ease into the modern violin even more and just try to let the violin sing like it's supposed to.
Every note has a beginning, middle, and end. It's not this sort of just mass-produced sort of big sound. It's got such a compelling feel to it. Now, with the modern violin, I mentioned before that you were the concertmaster of the American Youth Philharmonic. Would you say you were a tough leader in that position, or more laissez-faire? How would you describe yourself?
Well, my friends in orchestra call me the concertmaster with a titanium fist. I have some orchestra friends in the audience who know this very well. But yeah, I mean, the conductor and I work really closely, and the orchestra is so wonderful. Everyone is just amazing in the orchestra. And just once in a while, you know, some people, of course, because of school, you know, a lot of people go to Thomas Jefferson High School, and they don't have time to practice, go home and practice a whole book of music. Mm-hmm. So I try to come up with different ways to help them. So I let them come to me, ask questions, I work with them, and I also make excerpt sheets with just little excerpts on each page for each rehearsal that they can just work on one or two sections per rehearsal.
I love that, because then they can concentrate on the really hard places. It's not the concertmaster that just sits there and shakes his head disapprovingly. You're actually giving them real
things. I do that plenty,
too. You can do that as well. You know, it is notable that you've become a leader of your peers, given your history. Until recently, you've really had a hard time connecting with other kids. Is that true?
That's very true. You know, a lot of my friends can attest to this as well. I had no social skills until I was a freshman in high school. I was one of the most immature little brats the world has ever seen. I mean, it was because, like, I could not read other people's emotions. I couldn't, like, see when what I was doing was just really annoying them. I thought everything was funny. Like, I thought I was being funny. I thought I was being witty when, in fact, I was just being stupid. So, you know,
you could host this program.
Yeah.
You describe a 180-degree change in your personality. How did this come about? I mean, really everybody was disliking you at a certain point.
It's true. Like, my parents and I realized something must be wrong if every single person I know hates me. Something, you know? So, yeah, what we did is, you know, we did a lot of measures. We took 2 years, and what I think really helped was I went to a counselor for 2 years, and he talked with me every week, and we'd talk about good things in life, the bad things in life. And funny thing is, I didn't even know that he was helping me. It just seemed like we were talking. But after a couple of years, I started realizing what worked, what didn't, what I needed to do. And because of that, I still maintain my incredibly goofy side. I mean, I'm just a boisterous person, but, you know, I can control it somewhat better.
Well, and so now going in the other direction, you're so socially connected and into social media and social networking. You say that that can sometimes be a problem.
It is a problem. My parents know that I'm very addicted to Facebook. It rules my life. Like, I should be practicing. I practice for 15 minutes, and then I go on Facebook for an hour. You know, that's an hour and 15 minutes of practice. So, I have to take measures. You know, when I'm preparing for a competition, or I have a lot of schoolwork to do and something to really work for, I deactivate my Facebook account for a certain period of time, and people wonder. They send me emails and say, Brian, why have you blocked me? What have I done to you that you've blocked me? And I'm just like, I just deactivated
my
account.
He just knows how to do the deactivation. Well, I won't take it personally next time. But
We're not Facebook friends yet.
Not yet. We will. We'll see what we can do about that. Brian, it was such a pleasure hearing
you
make this hall resound with this wonderful Baroque violin sound.
And thank you.
So appreciate you bringing this music to us, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Brian Hong, 17 years old, from Fairfax Station, Virginia.
Brian is like the ideal college professor when he describes the difference between the Baroque and the modern violin. I took a video of him doing just that this morning, and it's really interesting stuff. Check it out at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
What a thrill to introduce our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome John Williams. What's wrong?
Chris, I'm not the composer, John Williams. I play classical guitar.
Well, now what?
I'm not that John Williams. I'm John Marcel Williams. I'm 16 years old, and I'm from Wintersville, Ohio.
Of course, John Marcel Williams. Sorry, John, couldn't resist the teasing with a name like yours. I bet you get that occasionally.
All the time.
There's something else also that you get teased a lot about, your fingernails.
Yeah, so my fingernails are made out of ping pong balls.
So in other words, you can't grow your nails properly? So
yeah, guitarists have to have long fingernails, and I can't really get mine to grow, so a lot of guitarists make them out of ping pong balls, and they sound good, so.
Well, and they look great. They
look
fabulous, actually. But you use the whole ping pong ball? I don't see any made in China on your fingernails now, but...
Well, eventually when I get to the end of the ball, then yeah, it'll say China.
Yeah. Well, anyone who's going to make fun of John Marcel Williams better beware of his family. Why is that, John?
I have 7 brothers and 1 sister.
Big family.
Yeah,
so is there a minivan big enough for all of you?
No, we have to take 2 cars usually.
For road trips? And
yeah, all the time.
Which car do you go in?
I guess...
With the brothers or with the sister
with my
and mom?
Yeah, brothers, usually.
You all basically get along, more
or
less?
Yeah, pretty much.
What is it like in the practice room, though? I mean, you know, you're in, like, the biggest room in the house, and there have got to be, what, how many people at a time?
Yeah, usually 3 or 4 people. It's really hard to get practicing done sometimes, so it's really loud.
Has it ever given you the idea of taking up the electric guitar? Maybe a little competition, you know?
That would be crazy.
That would be too much. Clearly, a little family noise and chaos has done you good, at least musically, in your concentration. It's a gorgeous piece you're going to be playing. Tell everybody what it is.
I'm going to be playing the 2nd and 3rd movements of Aquarelle by Sergio Assad.
John Marcel Williams, 16 years old, guitarist from Windersville, Ohio. John Marcel Williams performed the second and third movements of Sergio Assad's Aquarelle. John is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists.
Can't get enough from the top? Visit our website where you can listen to over 200 episodes of our radio show. Plus, see photos, watch exclusive videos, check out our taping schedule, and follow us on our blog, updated daily. That's fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org. From U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from Deckelbaum Concert Hall in the Clarice Smith Performing Arts Center at the University of Maryland in College Park. Coming up, a piano trio about the nature of fading love by a 16-year-old composer. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's performance at the Clarice Smith Center is made possible with support from the Prince George's Arts Council and with additional support from the Marpat Foundation. Special thanks to Classical WETA.
My name is Sandra Bailey. I'm 18, and I play the bassoon. But until now, I have never owned my own instrument. I began playing the bassoon in the seventh grade. I used a school bassoon, and it was great. I loved what I was doing. It was really fun. But my freshman year of high school, everything changed. My dad's a master plumber. My freshman year of high school, he got laid off. So he moved to Las Vegas because he thought there was work there. And after 3 months, we decided we had to go meet up with him. So we sold everything that we had, and we ended up moving to Las Vegas with 3 suitcases, which was pretty much insane. This wasn't so unusual for me and my family because we moved all the time. But what was so fantastic about moving was that my mom, she set me up at this school called Las Vegas Academy, and I had met this great teacher called Mr. Downey.
When Sandra first auditioned for us, we were delighted, and we kind of came in and had her play a few things for us, and it was obvious right off the bat that she was a phenomenal talent and was really ahead of her peer group, and her playing and her attitude was really great right off the bat, and we made a place for her in our top concert band and top orchestra.
So they loaned me a bassoon, and I was just off and running. I was in every program I could possibly be in, and everyone around me was either a dance major, theater major, musician. I mean, it just breathes performing arts. Like, people, they watch Glee, and they think that that's what it is. But this place, it was real. Like, on the first day, there was this girl sitting across from me wearing whiskers and singing from Cats.
Memory, turn your face to the moon.
I've never been so happy in all my life. But then the recession hit, and there was no construction work for anyone in Las Vegas, it seemed. The banks had pulled out, and my dad was out of work just like before. And I remember the day he came and spoke to all of us.
Well, you know, as a father, you know, I tried to, you know, maintain a sense of hope. So I had to, you know, keep my game face on and just to reassure everyone that, you know, we were going to be okay. I think it may have affected Sandra, you know, being, you know, in a school where she was, you know, sort of the star, you know, and, you know, having to pull her away from that, it affected her greatly. She didn't really express to us, you know, how the move would affect it, but, you know, I felt it, you know, her mother felt it, and, you know, we all felt it, but being a trooper, you know, she kind of buckled down and, you know, did what was necessary. And I think that positive attitude, you know, helped the family, you know, Sandra, to keep going. Sacrifices had to be made, but we made it as a, you know, as a family.
So we all hoped that there'd be work in Chicago, and that's where my grandma lives, where we stayed. And so again, you know, we like before, we sold everything and we moved north. And as I said before, I didn't own my own bassoon, so I spent the whole summer without an instrument. And I never knew how much I loved playing the bassoon until it was gone. And so there was no work, no music, so we just decided to move back to Atlanta. When I got back to Atlanta, the first thing I did was I called my old teacher, Dr. Shelley Unger, and I was just hoping that she would be able to take me back.
She's like, I'm in town. I'm like, you're in town. And I was like leaping for joy. Finding a good bassoon for Sandra to be learning on was really just a no-brainer. It was obvious that it needed to happen, and we had to figure out how to make that happen.
She ended up giving me her backup bassoon, and I was back playing in top youth orchestras, wind ensemble, all state, you name it. And then I hear that I could apply to From the Top, which I thought that you had to be some kind of prestigious instrumentalist with a producer, you know, had been on Ellen, you know, something crazy. But I found out that I could actually do it. I could apply. So I found out that I got a spot on From the Top, and that I won the Jack Kincook Young Artist Award, which meant big bucks. And, you know, all I have to say is, you know how I never had my own bassoon? Well, now I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, with that new bassoon, 18-year-old Sandra Bailey. It was quite a moving story you were willing to share with us, Sandra. Obviously, a very close-knit family.
Yeah, I mean, we all moved all the way back to Atlanta. I mean, to find work, of course, that was one reason. But the other reason was just so I can have music again. They did it, like, halfway just because of me, which is a big sacrifice.
I know your mom and your little sister are here in the audience. What are you going to play for them and all our listeners?
For my wonderful family, I'm going to play the first movement of the Sonatine by Alexandre Tanzmann.
Thank you.
Sandra Bailey, 18 years old, bassoonist from Atlanta, Georgia. Sandra, it's truly uncanny, and I've felt this in rehearsal and in performance today. The authority of your sound is such that even when we're tuning together, I feel like I should tune to you is what is just like, oh my God, well, there it is. I mean, that's the sound. I mean, it's just... just an incredible sound that you have.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. So, Sandra, you're graduating high school, and what do you think the future holds for you next year?
Well, I just recently found out that I've been accepted to Northwestern with a full ride. They're paying for my deposits, flying me up. So, I am planning on majoring in bassoon performance, of course. I love playing my bassoon. But I also realize that at Northwestern, I have so many options. And whether I become a bassoon professor at a college or a scientist, whatever, what I want to do is give back. I want to inspire someone like From the Top has inspired me. That's my goal.
Sandra, Your story and your family's perseverance are an inspiration to all of our listeners and kids growing up and in music or out of music for that matter, and just so proud and so pleased, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Sandra Bailey, 18 years old, our bassoonist from Atlanta, Georgia, one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists.
There's an interactive map of America on our website where innovative arts leaders can find out about each other and share ideas. This week, our map highlight is the Duke Ellington School for the Arts in neighboring Washington, D.C., where since 1974, kids who might not otherwise have access to serious training grow into young artists. If you're changing the world through music, go to fromthetop.org and get on the map. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
And now it's time to feature the music of one of the most talented teenage composers in America and a spectacular piano trio from the Juilliard Pre-College Division. With me are composer and pianist 16-year-old Conrad Tao, and violinist Don Wong, and cellist Jinshu Wong, both 17. Conrad, would you introduce this piece and tell us a little bit about it?
We'll be performing the second movement of my piano trio, composed in 2009. The movement is entitled Eventide, and it's the second movement of a two-part work. And the first movement is entitled Desire, and portrays the passion, the initial high of a new love relationship. And the second movement is a little more introspective, more inward-looking, and throughout we have intimate sounds and very intimate textures in the piano, above which we have two string lines interlocking, dancing around each other, and they meet, and then they fall apart, and they meet, and they fall apart, acting as two entities as well as one.
It's a wistfully beautiful piece. Looking forward to hearing this.
Thank you.
We heard a movement for a piano trio, Eventide. The composer at the piano, Conrad Tao, 16 years old. Violinist Don Wong and cellist Xinchu Wang, age 17 years old. The coach is Connie Moore. Love that piece, Conrad. Just
thank
beautiful.
You.
And ladies, just phenomenal playing. It's I know it's such a challenge playing this music. Dawn, talk about Conrad and his preference in this piece for different bow strokes on every note. I didn't see one slur marked in the part. Why is that?
Yeah, in fact, I think Conrad has a thing against slurs because, I mean, if you look at the music that he gave us, there's absolutely no bowings or anything markings on there. So I started putting in my own bowings and everything, and he's like, no, no slurs. So I'm like, great, which is perfectly fine with me, Conrad, but you better have a reason for that.
I think I know the reason. I think there's a certain lyricism in terms of, like, well, we both have an abiding love of Bjork. I think there's definitely an influence there, and the way a song, a pop song, is, you know, there's a syllable on every note, and that can be translated into a bow stroke of your own choosing, wouldn't you say?
I like what you said about the way that the human voice is not only lyrical, but there's a element of consonant sounds, and there's an attack to every sound, almost an enunciation in a sense, and I think that I approach melodies in that way, whether it's separate bow strokes for string instruments or separate tonguings for wind instruments. I've always loved that marked sound.
Mm-hmm. And yet there's such a soaring sense of things. Jinshu, what would you say is the most difficult thing about this piece?
It's a really difficult piece. Look at you, Conrad, you asked a difficult thing. For me, I think to counting the rhythm is a difficult thing for me. But I like this piece a lot, and I love to doing this thing. So I don't think challenge is a bad thing for us. So I think it's good for me.
It's so diplomatic.
Yeah. No, it's obviously quite gratifying to play. I mean, whatever difficulties there are in the service of some great beauty as you bring to it, Jinshi. I believe that. Conrad, you have a bit of reputation, though, for writing rhythmically difficult music. Is that true generally?
I really have always loved an element of fluidity to music, and this piece is no exception. And for me, my approach to rhythm is not so rigid so much as it is I want things to sound organic. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the way to make a really organic sound is to actually detail things and to write slightly complex rhythms so that things aren't always exactly together.
You guys are really one fine chamber music group, and I think our audience would like to hear a little bit more of you. Would you play us out? Dawn, what would you like to play us out
we,
with?
We would like to play the La Muerte del Ángel by Piazzolla.
It's a great arrangement and a great way to end our show. I love this piece. I love Piazzolla. I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for being here and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Conrad, Dawn, Jinshu, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley for Tom Bagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardias-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from MetLife Foundation, committed to promoting healthy families and good nutrition, on the web at metlife.org. From the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR.